In Acts chapter 16, verse 18, we're reading about Paul and what one of his missionary journeys here. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the message today. Lord, thank you for the testimony. And Lord, the story, not just the story, but the life example that Paul has set for us here, laid out in the scriptures. Lord, his boldness to preach the gospel. Lord, the lessons we can learn from him. Help us to take these things today and apply them directly to our lives as we go our separate ways this week. But Lord, as we look towards the year and look towards Lord, reaching more folks for you, I pray that we'd be challenged by this great man of God who preached your word faithfully and Lord suffered many things really for the gospel, but it was his main focus, his main goal. Help us to have the same energy that he did. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You ever read the Bible and you really hate the guys you're reading about? That's what happens right here. I came across this verse and I'm reading these guys and I can't. You know, we get used to, we know Paul, he suffered a lot of things for the gospel. He was thrown in prison a lot. He was mistreated a lot. We know that. And kind of, I think we read the whole thing and we kind of just kind of glance over it. But put yourself in his situation. I really, you know, sometimes, just the flesh coming out, you read some of the horrible things that were done to preachers, to men of God, to the people just trying to do right. And you really get mad at the bad guy. Okay? And that's how you're supposed to do it. I mean, that's a human tendency, right? We hate it when we see the bad guy winning and the good guy getting beat up, right? And that's just the way it is. And it always seems unfair, but you know what? Truthfully, that's the way that Satan wants it, and that's the way, in many ways, God is in control behind the scenes, and Satan always wants to look like he's winning. That's his main goal. He knows he can't win, and yet he is always going to try to make sure it looks like he's winning. And I was reading this verse, and I just looked at those, and this is going to be very carnal of me, but I thought, what a bunch of sharks, all right? And there's a show on TV called Shark Tank, all right? Now, this is I don't know why that came up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. I don't know why this came to my mind, but they said they brought him to the magistrates. And you know what I imagined? I imagined a group of like a panel of these six really important looking guys, you know, sitting there. And they dragged Paul in there. And these guys, they made me mad just thinking about them. It made me mad just thinking about them. I'm thinking, these guys are rulers of a city. You know, obviously, if you study the rest of it out, look what was happening before. There's this young lady who is, you know, obviously she's got spiritual, she's got a demon in her. She's accusing Paul, and then he, you know, turns that whole thing on its end, and he disrupts the business people, okay? And then they bring him to the magistrates, and then they order him to be beaten and thrown in prison. And it just made me mad because I was mad for Paul. I was upset for Paul. But you know what? If you read on through the rest of the story, Paul handles it the way God wanted him to handle it. And we're not even going to go through all of it, but if you read next, what happens next? Well, at midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing, and a man is converted in that jail, and his life is changed. Why? Because Paul did what was right. And you know what? I just got to thinking that we're all going to face some kind of shark tank like this, okay? And that's a funny illustration for the show or whatever. But I mean, do you really want to get into a tank full of real sharks? Do you? No. All right. There's certain situations that you're going to be put into in your life that are very uncomfortable. And sometimes people willingly go into those situations, like people who I think AJ and Tabitha were diving with sharks. I remember I was with Pastor and he shows me this picture. He says, look at my son-in-law. He's out diving with sharks. Okay, I don't know if it was a shark tank or more of a, you know, place. But that would be something I would do. I would totally do that. I would enjoy that. I like being a little bit scared with a measure of safety, okay? Because, you know, it's kind of like skydiving, all right? There's a little bit of scaredness there, but also, you know what? The other guy's got a parachute. He's done this 1,000 times. It's fun, all right? That's the kind of, I guess you would say, scared. But you know what? It's one thing to say, oh, I'll go into this, you know, I'll go pet the alligator with the trainer right there, or I'll go into the shark, you know. But it's another thing to be stuck out in the middle of the ocean when they're circling your raft, okay? There are certain situations, if you had the choice, you would not choose to go into that situation. But here, in this passage of Scripture, and honestly, many times, in some ways, Paul willingly goes into some of these situations knowing full well what kind of villains are on the other side. Now, of course he doesn't want to get beat, and of course he doesn't want to get persecuted, and of course he doesn't want to get thrown in jail. But what we find from Paul is he has a purpose underneath that is way more important than his physical well-being and safety, which he just left up to God. Okay, and so, you know what, we're going to find, and I read through the story, and I guess since I was mad at those guys, if you just keep reading, okay, it doesn't get better, all right? You find more people to be mad at, all right? But I did start noticing a pattern of the different types of people that Paul ends up coming into contact right here. And I kind of just wrote down that word, and then I wrote another one. So I found three places he went to. He went to the shark tank right there in chapter 17. In two spots, he goes to the think tank, all right? And then in chapter 17, he meets up with the guys from the septic tank, all right? So we're going to talk about all three of those groups tonight, the shark tank, the think tank, and the septic tank, all right? And they're all right there, and we'll find out. What would you do, though, okay? Would you willingly go into any of those places? Maybe not, all right? But Paul ended up going to all three of these. He comes into contact with all three of these guys. Well, what is it that got Paul through that? Well, we're going to go back and let's just look at the beginning real quick. This is where we didn't start. Chapter 16. There's some lessons we can learn from Paul and his life and how he handled these situations. We're going to go to the situations and learn a lesson on each one. Okay? But before he ever makes it to this place, this shark tank, this the Philippian jailer, before any of that happens, he does something interesting if you go back to the beginning of chapter 16. And if we read the first five verses, he's not over there. He's not over there in danger, is he, in these first five verses? He's not over in foreign territory, if you will. Now, he's doing what God called him to do. He's preaching. He's going on missionary journeys. The church is growing. If you read it, let's read it together. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Man, he's in a good spot right now. He just met Timothy. Timothy is an amazing young man. And Paul is not in a bad situation when he meets Timothy. He's very happy to meet this young man. Ends up working with him throughout the years. And then if you keep reading, they go on to serve God in those verses. Verse 4. And they went through the cities, they delivered them, decrees for to keep that they were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Now this is the situation you want to be. Your ministry is prospering, churches are growing, revival is happening, and I don't find any bad guys in that part of the story. All right. Not, I'm sure there were, there always are, okay, everywhere. But in this part of the story, this is where Paul's in a good spot. He's growing the church. Things are going well for him. But then I love what happens in the next few verses. God lays on Paul's heart a specific task. And if you go, that's what we call the Macedonian vision. Okay, you can skip to verse number 9. So they've been traveling and preaching and giving the gospel. In verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. How did Paul make it through what he's getting ready to make it through? Number one, you have to fill your gospel tank regularly. That was a hard one to get out, all right? You have to fill your gospel tank regularly. And he did. He said, the reason I'm getting ready to jump in this pool of sharks, this group of evil men, and go give the gospel to this city is because the gospel, his gospel tank was full. All right. He had met a young man who had been whose life had been changed by the gospel. He had had a vision. You know why he had that vision? You know why he had that burden? Because he was already preaching the gospel. You know why many Christians don't have a vision or a burden? They don't give the gospel regularly. Their gospel tank is empty. And maybe that's just because you haven't shared your testimony in a while. You need to go share your testimony with somebody. All right? Go give the gospel on a regular basis. Get that gospel tank full. Now, I know there's other ways. We can listen to gospel music, and that kind of tips the needle up a little bit. Amen. All right? We can listen to gospel preaching, and that really, man, that helps. Okay? But you know what the best way to get that gospel tank full, like it ought to be, and overflowing, is going out and telling other people about what? The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. Paul told his testimony wherever he went. And so, number one, I found that the only way Paul was able to make it through some of these places was he always had his gospel tank on full. All right? He was always ready to give it. He was always ready to talk about it. And that was his main goal, was giving the gospel wherever he went, no matter what group of people he found himself with. And so we ought to daily fill up our tank, so to speak, spiritually on the Bible. Hey, you know what? I find myself not being a good soul winner if I'm not walking rightly with the Lord. Okay, and maybe you say, "Well, I'm maintaining my walk with God. I talked to Him this morning. But you know what? How many times do we have a walk with God and then we go do half of the things on our own? And pretty soon, you know what? If Paul had done things on his own without God's help, he'd have found himself pretty hard in a hard situation. He wouldn't have got out of that Philippian jail if it wasn't for his trust in God. So listen, young people, listen, young men. You know why? You say, "Brother Young, I go out teen soul winning, I just never see anybody saved." Have you filled your gospel tank anytime soon? Did you spend any time praying and reading your Bible and asking the Lord for His help before you went out? You know, hey, my bus route just doesn't seem to be... Listen, I'll be honest. We look at the map and it's crossed off, but you know what? It convicts me to know that, man, I got a mission field done and only this many or maybe just one or none got saved from my whole mission field? Or maybe just that, you know, and I know that one soul is important, and obviously Paul here, one Philippian man, but not just the man, go read it, his whole family, all right? And so listen, you know what? We need to make sure that this is the most important thing. This was the thing that if you study Paul's thing, that was what he was going for, all right? That's what his goal was, the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. His whole life was about preaching Jesus and telling folks about Jesus. In fact, that's what they accuse him of the rest of the chapter. All right? So number one, we find out at the beginning, before he ever gets into this nasty situation, he gets his gospel tank filled. And he follows the vision. He does what God tells him to do. All right? Look down at the next couple verses and see what happens. So he goes over there. But number two, we find something else happens. This is where we picked up. Verse number 16, and it came to pass. So he's in Philippi. He's over where God told him to be. There's some stuff that's happened, but here it comes. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met with us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. It's all about the money for her. All right. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." By the way, the devil knew what they were. All right. "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her the same hour." And look at verse 19. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers." Don't you think Paul knew the whole time that she was around what maybe the punishment would have been if he had said that? It even said it grieved Paul and it happened many days. So it wasn't like on the first day she showed up, he called her out and this happened. No. I don't know if that was part of God's will. I don't know why the delay. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to build up the courage. But you know what? I think part of him, he knew, here's this demon-possessed young lady. He serves Jesus Christ. He knows he can look at that lady and call out sin and call out wrong. And he knows when he does that all of that's going to come down on top of him. Now, I don't know if he knew that entirely. Maybe he didn't know the scope of it. But I think after a few days, he figured out that this lady was a moneymaker. All right. And I think he knew that if he exposed her and ruined that, this kind of stuff had happened to Paul a lot, where he goes in and ruins the world system. All right. It's fun messing up the devil's stuff. Paul had a lot of fun doing that. But you know what I find? Number two, he stood against sin no matter the cost. He stood against every situation Paul had. He stood against sin no matter the cost. This was going to cost him personally. Okay, he knew he was messing with, hey, listen, Christians, we're going to give the gospel sometimes, and our gospel message is going to go against the people with big money. And it does, by the way. And you know what? Listen, I'm not saying we always have to go in and we have to take a financial angle or a conspiracy theory angle or whatever. But if you get up and preach the gospel, more and more our country is becoming, you know, we know that, very carnal, very liberal, very satanic. And you know what? Listen, some of the policies and things they're trying to get us to do, eventually, you know what? We say, no, we can't do that. And when we say that, for a while, they're going to be okay with it. But at some point, they're going to say, wait a second, we're losing money now. You know, your preaching is causing us problems. And let me ask you this, are you going to still preach or stand up for what's right, even if it costs you? And that's a hard one, because we all are going to have to face that. But here in Paul's situation, he stood against sin no matter the cost, even if it was money cost. Now, Paul, it didn't cost him money. But you know what? Listen, when you stand against the world, there's going to be times when they're going to accuse you of that. They're going to bring that to your attention. Okay, you're going to feel that pain. All right, and you know what? Listen, we are going to feel that a little bit in the days to come. I bet you. Okay, it's going to cost you this much if you're not vaccinated or whatever. They're going to, you know, if you don't do this or if you don't do that, and that's just one thing. All right, but pretty soon it's going to come down to stuff that we can't compromise on. Okay. And soon they're going to say, which I know that, you know, you got the mark of the beast and you got all of that stuff. That's, you know, Revelation and all that. I'm not even getting to that. I'm talking about here now, though. They're going to start doing things to make you as a Christian test your principles. Well, every once in a while, I can do this. It's okay. And yeah, no, it's not. All right. But that happens to all of us. You know, men, are we going to stand up in our jobs when they say, nope, you have to work Sundays? Okay. Are you going to stand up for that? All right. Because the world caved a long time ago in that one. All right. And so be careful about that. Stand against sin. Young men, stand against sin no matter the cost. That's not just money. That's cost to you. And Paul did it. He stood up for what's right. He called out this demon. He cast the demon out. He did what he was supposed to do. And immediately he gets taken to the sharks. Okay. Here's what happens here. And this is, you know, number three. Be willing to take a few stripes for the gospel. Be willing to take a few stripes for the gospel. The rest of this section right here, I don't find Paul talking till he's thrown in prison and he's praying and singing to God. Because here in verse 21, they take him in and they accuse him. They rip their clothes. They throw a fit. They even said they had laid many stripes upon them, not just a few, many. And they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And he puts him in the middle of that prison. Hey, listen, you know what? Sometimes we complain. We got nothing to complain about. All right? I have nothing to complain about. I've never had to be whipped for giving a gospel tract to anybody. You know? And maybe that means two things. Maybe it means we're sheltered, which we are, and thank the Lord we live in America. But also maybe it means I haven't been as hard of a witness as I should have been. You know, because the truth is, as the witnessing, you know, as the freedoms we sometimes might love are slowly dwindling or changing, our witness shouldn't get lower or silent or quieter. It should get louder. And the more obnoxious, not the right word, but the louder the witness, the harder the people who don't like it are going to come down. And so be willing to take a little bit for the gospel. And be willing to take a lot more than a little bit. Paul took a lot. Jesus took a lot. Hey, listen, you know what? Be willing to take a few stripes for the saving of a soul. The saving of a soul. You know what Paul did? I love that verse. I love verse 25. Let's read it. Let's look at it. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I love that verse. After he gets whipped, thrown in prison, and you know, chewed up and spit out by those sharks. He's sitting here in the middle of prison. You know what he does? He prays and sings to the Lord. Says, Lord, thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being the one that takes care of me. And you know what? The prisoners hear it. And they go, man, something's different about those guys. And guess what? The jailer heard it. And that's why when those doors come off and, you know, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, okay? And that's why that keeper of the prison, man, he's scared to death. He thinks he's going to get killed. All the prisoners are getting out. Paul's escaping. Things are happening. What must I do to be saved? I love that. And he gets saved. Not only him, but his whole house gets saved, okay? All because a man was willing to take some stripes for the gospel. All because Paul was willing to take some. Hey, listen, we need to be willing. That means, you know what? We need to be willing to take a few doors slammed in the face. All right. A few cussing outs. All right. Whatever it takes. You say, well, I can't handle that. Well, all right. Go with somebody who can. Okay. Go with, seriously. Paul could handle it. And I don't know that Silas could handle it. Apparently he did. All right. I don't know. We don't really, you know. Maybe he was learning. He learned pretty well, didn't he? All right. He learned it the hard way, if you will. Okay. We were talking about, we won't get into that. That's a rabbit trail. I don't want to shoot rabbits. All right. Okay. But anyway, number three, be willing to take a few stripes for the gospel. All right. We'll get to these last two and we'll be done. So as you read on, we find out that, you say, Brother Young, where's this all going? Well, I'm going to give you the four lessons here, and then I'll give you one thing I want you to take home with as you go. Okay, let's keep reading. So Paul makes it to the shark tank. He gets through that. If you read the rest of the story, I love the way he leaves this town. He doesn't really want to leave quietly. They say, okay, go on, get out of here. He says, no. You're going to come down and make sure this is done right. He makes them kind of, eat their words a little bit, okay? All right, verse 17, we find him in a new location, okay? He goes on, he moves on in his journey. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Okay, so he spends 3 weeks there preaching, three different days on the Sabbath talking about it. Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. All right, so we see Paul, he goes into this place of religious worship, okay? This place of people who are used to opening the Bible and talking about it, and he takes 3 weeks to, the Bible says there, opening and reasoning with them, okay? And so we see that. If you skip down, go skip over, he goes a few other places. But let's skip all the way to verse 15. And there's a reason we're going to do that. And they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens. So a few other things have happened in this story. And they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus. Okay, now while Paul waited, so he's waiting for him, verse 16, for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met him. So he's doing the kind of the same thing. The last place he spent 3 weeks preaching and teaching in the synagogue. Now he's in Athens and he's still talking with the Jews and the synagogues in the markets. Anywhere he can find a crowd, Paul's preaching. By the way, that's a good thing. Young men, you want to be a preacher? Okay. Here, Paul is preaching where the people are. He's giving the gospel to the people. That doesn't condone going around being a street preacher, okay? All right? But you know what? Listen, giving the gospel on the street is exactly what we want you to do. All right? Now, you don't have to get the end is near sign and a microphone, okay? That's not what we're talking about. But you know what? Essentially what he was doing, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And he was, in our way, we're handing people the gospel and telling them about it. Okay? In his way, he had to call a group of people and say, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus, okay? And so he's preaching them. In fact, he does that so much. Look at verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? And others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And so they take him, and they bring him to this other guy, and verse 21 explains everything you need to know about this group of people. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. All right? This is the think tank. Okay, Brother Young, do we really have to go witness to these people? Yes. Yes, you do. All right? Did Paul do this? Yes, he did. You say, Brother Young, do we really need to, you know, man, Brother Young, I mean, mission field, whatever I'm on, has just a bunch of rich houses in it. I feel like I never get to, you know, meet anybody home or whatever it is. Just a bunch of doctors. And hey, listen, you know what? They're right there, aren't they? That's them. And he preaches one of the most amazing sermons that he preaches on Mars Hill in the next few verses. Okay? In verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. He's looking at these lost people, these Gentiles. This is your businessmen, your market men, your religious crowd. This is the people who, you know what? They're not on the street begging for food. This is the everyday, hardworking business type of guy. Hey, listen, we need to make sure that we're not forgetting this crowd of people. Okay, they go to your work with you, and you meet them when you do your business, whatever it is. Okay, these are the people that you meet at your bank. All right, these are the people that you sign that loan paper with. All right, these are the folks that honestly, if it's not for your testimony, might never hear the gospel. And so here, Paul, he enters a totally different place than what he was just in. Okay, the totally different. Over here, they were making a bunch of money off this girl, and they got mad at him, and they beat him up and throw him in prison. Over here, he's able to sit there and talk for days and days. 3 weeks in the synagogue here and a few days in the synagogue here, people are talking about. And you know what? He's not just talking, by the way. He's preaching. Okay. You know what I know about Paul from this thing? He knew his Bible. Okay. He knew what he was talking about. You can't get up and do this if you don't. They will not hear you if you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, listen, you know what? Know your number four, what I learned from Paul is know your Bible and give the gospel to every type of person. Know your Bible and give the gospel to every type of person. You say, Brother Young, why is that a big deal? Hey, listen, some of the most amazing things can happen when God would get a hold of somebody who we would consider maybe a higher station in life. And you know what? What would happen if that man would get saved? What could he do with that? What could he do with that? What would happen if a guy like Russell Anderson, Hiles Anderson College, okay? He earned millions of dollars. What would happen if he would get saved? Oh, wait, I know. He would start a bunch of churches and colleges. Great. Okay? What would happen if certain people with, you know, equipment and you know, money or whatever it is, what would happen if God would save those folks? Well, hopefully they would take whatever God's given them and use it for God. Okay? And so don't look at a person just because they have a certain level of whatever. Maybe you think you're inferior. Maybe you think they would never listen. Listen, we got to give it to them. I feel like sometimes maybe if we're not careful, we're intimidated by it. Paul wasn't intimidated by it. He wasn't. And he made sure, by the way, he made sure to know his Bible. Okay? And don't be even intimidated by, listen, you can't be intimidated by the other false religions out there. Okay, because guess what? Every door you knock on, I guarantee most people, they have some kind of religion. They'll tell you that they are. Okay, well, I'm a, you know, Church of Christ, or I'm a, you know, whatever they say they are. Okay, now your job is not to sit there and reason with the five tenets of their religion and why they're right and why he's wrong. That's not what your job is, to give them the gospel and to preach Jesus. But you can't do that if you don't know your Bible. And so, you know, young men, be careful that you don't get stuck. I remember on Teen Soul Winning, I've done it before when I was a teenager. I've seen teenagers do it. And, you know, I dropped it first year I was here, dropped a kid off and, you know, another young man. And I come back around and I pick them up and they're like, man, we talked to that lady for 40 minutes. And I was like, okay, all right, you know, a guy or lady or whatever. We talked to that man for 40 minutes, you know. And I said, well, did he get saved? You know, what was the story? Well, he was you know what he did? He tied him up for 40 minutes and nobody else on that street got saved because they were stuck talking to Joe Catholic for 40 minutes, all right? And I said, guys, listen, I know that's great and all, and if you can talk to a guy and you're getting the gospel to him, and if it takes time, it takes time. By the way, Paul took some time, and that was good. He did take some time. There are going to be people you're going to have to take some time with, okay? Brother Joseph, you know, I know that we were talking about Brother Glenn Yoder was up here, and I think if you recall that there was a lot of working that happened in his testimony. A lot of Bible verses, a lot of time witnessing, many faithful witnesses that have to happen. Some of you have been witnessing to one person for years. You know what that is? Faithful, and it's taking time. But you know what? Don't stop praying. Don't stop witnessing for that person. Okay? So, hey, listen, you know what? Know your Bible and give the gospel to every sort of person. Number five, and this is it. There will always be a septic tank. There will always be a septic tank. Look at verse number five. There's always a group that won't listen. There's always a group that won't get saved. There's always a group that you're not going to change their mind. And God has tried to get a hold of them. In verse 5, we find that Paul preached to all those people. Remember, he took 3 weeks of revival. He preached many, it said in verse 4. Some of them believed, the Greeks, a great multitude, and chief women, not a few. That's pretty awesome. Verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, the ones who didn't believe, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's the septic tank. And gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down and are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let him go. So Paul escaped right there. I don't know if you caught that or not, but they take Jason and Paul gets out of that certain situation. But Paul went through a lot of things, and he did know who the septic tank people were. And he knew when to get out. Okay? He knew when to get out. And not when what you can't save. What you can't. He knew where the line was. And listen, I'm not saying no one can get saved. And of course, anybody can get saved. God can get a hold of anybody's heart. But listen, if you'll just keep witnessing, and you know what? On your bus route, don't give up on those people. Don't give up on that person. But you know what? Be careful you still watch out and identify the septic tank. Because this is not the group that's just down and out and poor. Okay? This is not just the group that's sinful or needs Savior. This is a lewd fellows of the baser sort. These are guys that you can pray for them and you can be as cordial as you're able to be as a Christian, but don't go near them. All right? Don't hang out by the septic tank. Okay? Give them the gospel, pray for them. And I pray that God will get a hold of their heart. And you know what? Maybe there are. Maybe you've got some amazing stories that I don't know. But I don't find many places where this group of people really had a change of heart. Okay? I find a lot of places where they were judged by God pretty quickly for their actions. This kind of group. And so listen, you know, hey folks, we got to realize, okay, that this year in 2022, maybe your mission field. You say, Brother Young, what's the point of all this? Well, Paul had to go through a lot of things for one thing, and it was the gospel, right? That was his goal, preach the gospel to everybody. That was his goal. You know what? I want to just challenge you, young people, okay? Think about those areas, those groups of people. You know what? Some of us don't have to worry at all about the shark tank, okay? Everybody's going to have an uncomfortable experience this year. I don't know what it's going to be. But you're going to be in a situation where it's not going to be good. Would you willingly do that for the Lord? Would you willingly do that for the gospel? Okay? Would you be willing to go to these groups of people out there that need to hear? Would you be willing to go back to the map back there and say, you know what? I know Mission Field 1 and Mission Field 16 are not the same. They're not. Go back and look. I know Jasonville and Jasper are not the same. Totally different. One is totally different than the other. But somebody needs to get at the gospel. You say, Brother Young, I'm not sure that I want to be part of be part of that. Be part of that passing out the tracts. Hey, listen, some people won't have to worry about it this year, though. I'll just help you out. Some of you, you won't have to worry about a shark tank or being whipped or anything bad happening to you. Because some people aren't willing to go into any kind of tank. They just want to hang out in their comfortable goldfish bowl by themselves. Okay? And so that, you know, that's true. Sometimes we like the little comfortable goldfish bowl, all right? I'm safe. I'm good. Nothing's going to happen in here. But you know what? You know, that's the goldfish bowl. That's fun to come back to and hang out and, you know, be part of and live there. But don't stay there. Go out. And you know, you got to realize that when we're going into the world, we're not supposed to be of the world. We're not supposed to be foolish. But you know what? We're going to have to take some risk to get the gospel out. And we're going to have to do that. And because of that, because of our comfort sometimes, I think, you know what's going to happen? Many people aren't going to hear without a preacher. Many people aren't going to hear without a young lady who just says, you know what? I'm going to go to that house. And there was a single mom there that needed me to come by. And I remember I stopped by there, and I'm going to go back there. I'm going to tell her about Jesus. You know, there was that person. Hey, listen, you know what? There's that person last year that I knocked my buster out, and I just have never seen them again. I need to go find them and tell them about Jesus one more time. Okay? Hey, where has God put you? Did he put you in the shark tank? Maybe. Some people can't handle that. He'll put you somewhere else. Okay? God puts us all in different situations. Okay? Who can you tell about? Listen, he put you in your work for a purpose. Okay? The rich folks who you meet, the poor, who are you going to tell? The people at work, the people in Jasper, the people in Jasonville, the people in Sullivan, the people in Hymera, or Shelburne, or wherever else you're at. God puts you there on purpose. Mission field back there, a bus route, bus 505, bus 101, whatever bus you're on, that's you're there for a reason. And you know what? They're all drastically different. They're all different. They all have different groups of people. You know, I was moved here from a totally different place in Lexington, Kentucky than Greene County, Indiana. All right? Totally different. All right? But you know what? One, I now go back there and I wouldn't want to live there. You couldn't pay me to live there. All right? And I love my mom and dad, but you couldn't pay me to live there. I love it here. This is my home, you know? And I've been countrified, okay? All right? In a little ways. But you know what? Listen, they all need the Savior. They all need Jesus. Don't be unwilling to go where God wants you to go this year. Hey, listen, and before you go, just remember those things. I'll say them one more time. Fill your gospel tank regularly. Stand against sin no matter what the cost is. Be willing to take some extra stripes for the gospel. Know your Bible. And then stay away from the septic tank and the people that hang out there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the message from your word. Thank you for Paul and his life. And Lord, I pray that even this week we might go back and revisit the book of Acts and look at the churches that were started, the Christians that were saved, the work that was done there. Help us to emulate that this week. Help us to go out and tell folks about you. And Lord, I know there's much work to be done here. Please help us as a church family as we work to serve you, work to glorify you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.